Hi, this is John Edmiston, and this is podcast number 4 in the series Time Management for Christian Disciples, which you can find online at cybermissions.org/3col. That's cybermissions.org/3, C-O-L. You'll find a workbook there, you'll find these podcasts, and you'll find the 3-column planner, which is a book on Amazon that I wrote that you can get for $14.95. It'll last you about 2 years, and it will help you with planning. Now, before you go into this session, you probably need to have the 3-column planner and be looking at the sections 11 simple planning questions and 6 steps to project innovation, because they're going to really help you with this how to achieve a major goal. Now, God has good works prepared beforehand for you to do, and he'll often give them to you as a goal. Go here, do that, go share the gospel with the Gentiles, and so on and so forth. And you have a sense that you're moving towards a significant point that God's given you to achieve. It might be in the gospels, they talk about fighting wars, building towers. They're all goals that. And for Jesus, the goal was the cross, the resurrection and the ascension, and of course, his return to earth. So before you launch out on a goal, you need to make sure that your goal glorifies God. It shouldn't be selfish. It shouldn't be fleshly. It certainly shouldn't be a criminal goal like robbing a bank. And your goal should glorify God in some way, improve your life and the life of other people. It should be ethical. It should be loving. And it should be significant in some way. So it's not just something trivial like my goal is to have a flat screen television. That's not a goal. That's a materialistic ambition. And I don't think you should waste too much energy on something like that. One goal that I am very cautious about is weight loss goals. And the reason for that is they're often unachievable. 80% of people just put the weight straight back on. For all the great weight loss stories, 3 or 4 years later, they're back to their original weight. So I don't think it's good to make weight loss a significant goal unless you're diabetic or you've got heart problems. There's nothing in the Bible that says thou must be skinny. No matter what the culture says, the Bible is much more concerned with your virtues, your love, peace, patience, joy, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control. Those kinds of things are a lot more important to God than whether you're a little bit chubby or not. So be content with how you look and set more reasonable goals, goals that you're actually more likely to achieve. So make sure your goal glorifies God. Now, the next thing is your goals normally flow from your gifts. So God's made me a Bible teacher. That's my spiritual gift. So my goals are things like books and podcasts and courses. God hasn't made me an engineer, so my goals aren't things like building bridges or aeroplanes. That's what my father did. He was a civil and structural engineer. He built bridges, but I ended up teaching the gospel. So your goals should flow from your gifts. And if you've got a gift of compassion, they should be help. Your goals might be like helping this person or building an orphanage or so on and so forth. A goal that's not tied to your gifts tends to be something you resent. So, for instance, doing my taxes, something I've got to do anyway, but I tend to resent doing it because it's administrivia, and I don't like doing that stuff. I'm not a details person, so I tend to resent that goal, but it's an essential thing. It has to be done. But most of the time, our big goals, the goals that bring joy and peace to our life, should be tied to our gifting. So I enjoy writing, I enjoy preaching, teaching, and they're the main sort of goals that I have. And you need to find out what your gift is and what your goals should be so that you're in harmony, that your goals are in harmony with what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. And some people will have very large goals. They'll build mega churches. Other people will just have a goal to take care of 60 people and they'll be shepherds of the flock. That's fine. Your goals don't have to be the same as anyone else's. So just make sure you have goals that are from God and which glorify God. Now, in the 6 steps, the thing which you'll find at the front of the 3-column planner, it explores 6 steps towards being creative and towards project management. Those 6 steps are explore, discover, dream, design, deliver, review and redo. Let's go through them again. explore, discover, dream, design, deliver, review and redo. And this is my adaptation of the work of David Cooper Ryder and a thing called appreciative inquiry that I have found to be very, very powerful and a very good guide, especially in Christian work, but in all sorts of other work as well, because it develops your projects out of your strength as a person and out of your strengths as a community or an organization. And you really should get hold of some of the work about appreciative inquiry by David Cooper Ryder. I don't have time to cover it all in this podcast, but we're going to look at these six steps and how they can lead you towards your godly goal in a systematic way that makes the goal much easier to achieve. Now, if you just sort of randomly rush at your goal, you're probably not going to get there. You'll get burned out, you'll get discouraged, you'll hit obstacles because that you didn't think about, and you're not going to reach the goal. So like a general planning a war or an engineer building a bridge, you need to think about your goal in a systematic way so you can plan for it and so that you're motivated as you do it because you can see the steps. Oh, I've done this much and there's only this much to go. Otherwise, you tend to stop two-thirds of the way through a project. So let's start with explore. You explore all the possibilities. What, you know, like for me as a Bible teacher, what could I teach and what's out there that needs to be taught on? I was talking to my senior pastor. He said, I'd really like something on time management. So that's why I'm doing this series now for the discipleship groups in our church and for anyone else listening in around the world. So we explore the range of possibilities. Oh, okay, I will teach that. So, and we discover, after we've explored, we discover something we want to do that fits with our gifts. We also discover our own gifts, our core strengths, and we build on our strengths instead of worrying about our weaknesses. So I'm not worried about the things that I can't do in ministry. I'm not worried that I can't do creative ministry and I can't do worship leading and I can't do church administration. I build on the strengths that I have got in the area of teaching. So we forget about our weaknesses, we build on the strengths, we discover our strengths, and we discover what we can do with our strengths. So we explore the possibilities, discover our strengths, and then the third thing is we dream. Now, dreaming is very important. By dreaming, I don't mean just go to bed and dream like that. I'm talking about dream in the sense of planning. We need to have a vision. We need to have an understanding of where we're going, just as Moses went up the mountain and got the design for the tabernacle from God, just as Jesus had a clear sense of what he was doing to seek and save the lost, as Moses had a dream of rescuing the Israelites from Egypt, though it was delayed by 40 years at one point. So we find that all these dreams are given to people and they take over their life. I have a friend called Viv Grigg whose dream is to plant churches among the urban slums in the developing world. That's been his dream for a teenager and he's now in his 60s. So he's been pursuing that dream, that godly dream, that godly goal for his entire life. So once we get the dream from God, once we get, yes, I want to plant a church in this place, or I want to build a house, or I want to start a family, or whatever your dream is, then you have to think about that dream in detail. You want to get it burned into your spirit so that if your dream is to open an orphanage in Mexico, what's the orphanage going to look like? What's it going to feel like? What's it going to be like when it's completed? So you're thinking about your dream. It's getting big. It's getting strong inside you. You're praying it over. You're getting ideas from God about it. You're writing them down in a notebook. And you're cutting pictures out of magazines. And whatever you need to do to make the dream real and concrete. After you've got the dream, the next stage is design. So it's explore, discover, dream, design. And design, you want to get right down into the nitty-gritty details. What are the windows going to look like? The doors going to look like? What's the teaching going to look like? What's the series going to look like? What's the church going to look like? Whatever it is, you want to get to design it right down to the last little bit so that the picture is clear. You've designed where you're going. You can see it. But after you've designed it, you've got to build it and deliver it. So it's explore, discover, dream, design, get the picture straight, then deliver. How are we going to deliver the project? And the delivery project, you'll find that in the 11 simple planning questions. The 11 simple planning questions at the front of the three-column planner. And the first seven questions The five W's and the two H's. Who, what, when, where, why, and then how and how much. So who, what, when, where, why, how, and how much. So who needs to be involved in this project? Who's going to help you with the orphanage or whatever your vision is, your dream is? What do you need? Do you need to buy the land and so on? Of course, that jumps down to how much. Where's it going to be? What are you going to do? What's all the necessary supplies? And so on. So you ask those questions. Why are you building the orphanage? Obviously to help orphans and to share the glory of the gospel of God and to demonstrate Christ's witness in Mexico, if that's where your orphanage is. So you want to think those questions out, get a big sheet of paper, get your friends in the room, and go through those seven questions. The five W's and the two H's, the how and how much at the end, how's it going to get done and how much is it going to cost, and have a planning meeting 2-3 hours long, get out your whiteboards and put your heads together and go through those. Now, if it's a larger project, and an orphanage is a large project, you might want to also add another four things, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's called a SWOT analysis. Businessmen do that. You can find PowerPoints on the SWOT analysis, things like slideshare.net, that's slideshare.net, or you can Google SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T. S and W are strengths and weaknesses, the internal to you and your organizations. What's the strengths and weaknesses of yourself or your organization or your church that you're working with or your business? Opportunities and threats are external. What are the opportunities if this succeeds? What are the threats that could take it down, such as hacking or security threats or taxes or legal things that could spell an end to your project? And so you look at the SWOT analysis. I don't have time to get through a SWOT analysis there. If you look in the book, there's the basics of it there in the three-column planner under the 11 questions. But do that and put up on a whiteboard strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of the project and start thinking it through. So that's part of your delivery stage there. And once you're starting this, once you've got all that worked out and what you're doing, you need to put the sweat equity in. You need to start working very hard, and most projects require a phase of just incredible hard work and bashing your head against the brick wall until it breaks. Of course, you pray. Of course, you do all you can, just like Nehemiah. He gets in there, he starts building the wall of Jerusalem, and it's a major project, and Sanballat and Tobias oppose him at every turn. And soon he's knee-deep in trouble, but through persistence, through God's help, he arms the population and builds the wall in 55 days. He had to move. He had to push through with that thing. And then after that, you want to review and redo. So you want to review and redo the project. If it's a special event, how did it go? How did the missionary speaker go? Could you improve on it? Could you improve the conference for next year? And be prepared to listen to some tough feedback and improve it next time around. So don't be afraid of some constructive criticism. Review and redo and make it better. That's what we call iteration, doing it over again a little bit better the next time around, especially if you're doing software and things like that. You've always got to do it better the next time around. And after you've reviewed and redo, you celebrate it. Celebrate your wins. Say, yes, I've finished the podcast series. I'm 2 minutes away from the end of podcast number four. So you celebrate your wins, celebrate your victories. That motivates you to do another project at another time. So have your celebration. So the six main steps there are explore, discover, dream, design, deliver, review, redo, and finally celebrate. So that's the way you achieve a major goal. God bless. This is so I just got interrupted then by a Skype call, but that's life. We were organizing a codathon in Colorado Springs. So I don't know what I was just saying, but anyway, I think I've reached the end of this podcast. Isn't that great? God bless. Have a great day. Celebrate your wins. Okay. Thank you and bye.